Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Ayin Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amid Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Mishnas Rishus L'Shluchay L'Kadesh Espitay. If somebody gives authorization to a shliach to accept Kedushin for his daughter, V'Halachu V'Kitcha, and then the father went and accepted Kedushin. Says the Mishnah, Im Shaloi Kidmu. If the father's act of accepting Kedushin came first, Kedushav Kedushin, then that is considered the valid act of Kedushin. But Rashi adds an important point. Rashi says, not only is the Mishnah teaching us that if the father's act of Kedushin comes first, that is considered the valid act of Kedushin, but Rashi goes on to point out that by accepting the Kedushin prior to the Shliach, what he's done is he's been mevatel the Shlichus. He has nullified the Shlichus of the Shliach. And the Mefarshim explain, what does Rashi mean by teaching us this? They give two examples. One example is as follows. Let's say the father, as the Mishnah taught us, accepted Kedushin first. And then the shliach accepted the kedushin, and the husband that the father accepted kedushin from dies. So if we say that there's a bittel shlichus here, and that the shliach is no longer considered a shliach, so then the second kedushin, is totally meaningless, and we don't have to be concerned with it. If, however, on the other hand, we will learn that the shlichus was still good, then now that the first husband died, the second kedushin would be a kedushin. Teaches us Rashi that the shlichus was nullified. Another nafkamina is, let's say the father accepted kedushin first, but as we learned earlier in our masechta, one of the ways the father could accept kedushin, or anyone could accept kedushin, is that the kedushin should not be effective today. It should only be effective in 30 days. And then the shliach was mekadeshar, but he was mekadeshar with a shlichus that should be effective immediately. Teaches us the Mishnah that since the father's first act of kedushin is the act that we follow, and we are now considering that the shliach's appointment was nullified, so even though his kedushin actually were going to be effective earlier, the halacha is that we totally ignore it. On the other hand, if the shliach's kedushin were done first, then his kedushav are kedushin. And here again, the Rishonim point out, even to the degree that if the shliach's kedushin came first, but the shliach's act of kedushin were the type of act that he's saying, I'm being mekadeshah today, but the kedushin should only be effective in 30 days, and the father was mekadesh afterwards, but he was mekadeshah in a way that the kedushin should be effective immediately, the halacha is that the shliach's kedushin, which will only be effective in 30 days, is the only valid kedushin. However, go on the mefarshim to discuss what will be the halacha if the father appointed a shliach, and after appointing the first shliach, he appointed a second shliach. So the Paiskim discuss, how do we view the appointment of the second shliach? Do we say, as we're learning in our Mishnah, that the second act serves to nullify the original appointment? Or do we say what the father meant was that he was saying that whoever will be mekadosh my daughter first, that would be a valid kedushin? And the Paiskim say the halacha by a get is clearly different. By get, the halacha is if a woman, the Beis Shmuel says this, if a woman appoints a shliach to be makabel a get on her behalf, and then she appoints another individual to accept the get on her behalf, the halacha is that either of these individuals could accept the get on her behalf. Because he explains, it's clear that the intention of the woman under that circumstance is just that she wants her get accepted, and she wants to make sure that's accepted, so she asks a number of individuals to do so, hoping that at least one will pick it up for her. But here we're talking about affecting a Kedusha. So says the Bach, certainly the halacha is that if the father first appointed one shliach to accept Kedusha on behalf of his daughter, and then he appointed a second shliach, and the second shliach accepts a Kedusha first, even if afterwards the first shliach will accept the Kedusha, the act of the first Kedusha we will not have to be concerned with. The question that comes up, he says, however, is what will be the halacha if both the first shliach is mekabel kedushin first, and the second shliach is mekabel kedushin afterwards? What kedushin do we take into consideration? There, the Bach says we have to be concerned that she would need a reget from both individuals. Continues our Mishnah. However, in any yedua, if we're not quite certain who was Makabal Kedushin first, the father or the Shliach, the Aloch is Shneim Noisn Get. Since we don't know who is exactly the husband, so she has to get a get from both men. However, if they want, we could have one man give her a get, and one man will be her husband. Point out to Rishonim, we could only follow such a suggestion in a situation where the two men are not related to each other. Because let's say the first one man was a father and a son with a two prospective chsanim. We don't know which one is the real husband. So if the first kedushin was with the father and she's taking a get from the father, then she can't marry the son, because the son, you're not allowed to marry the son of a person. A woman's not allowed to marry the son of a person whom she was married to, or vice versa. And therefore, the ruling of our Mishnah is in a situation where these two men, who we don't know who is the real husband, are not related to each other. But then the Rishonim go on to discuss, what does our Mishnah mean? Rotzo echad noisin get v'echad kaimus. So some Rishonim suggest that what our Mishnah means, that the husband who she will remain with does not have to do kedushin again. The original act of kedushin will suffice. Many Rishonim disagree, and they say it could very well be that the original act of kedushin was an unacceptable act. It could be at that point she was an Eishes Ish, and therefore they say that for it to be valid, a new act of kedushin is required. So the Mefarshim asks, according to the first pshat that we just quoted, that a new act of kedushin is not required, we understand very well the chiddush of our Mishnah, that a new act of kedushin will not be required. However, according to the other pshat that we quoted, that another act of kedushin is required, so what is the Mishnah teaching us? So obviously, she could go marry him. Answer the Rishonim that there is a chiddush. Because we know that halacha is, we just quoted this thing in our previous year, that if a woman is married to a man and they get divorced and she gets remarried to another man, she can no longer marry the first husband again. And we also know that that halacha applies even if their original marriage was only an erusin. So we would think that by her getting married to one of these men, maybe this was her first husband, then she got married to another man, and now this is going to be a situation of machse grushasoi, which is prohibited. It teaches us a Mishnah that we don't have that concern. Continues the Mishnah with a similar case. The kaini isha shenasna rishus l'shluch l'kacha, if a woman allowed a shlich to accept kedushin on her behalf, v'holch v'kitches atzma, and she goes and she's mekadish herself, so the halacha is, im shalach kidma kedusha kedushin, if her kedushin came first, she's considered married to the man that she was mekadosh herself to. Vimsha shlucha kidmu, if the shliach's kedushin came first, then it's his kedusha, which is the valid kedusha. Vim ein yoidim, if we don't know which one, is the halacha shneim noisn get, she has to take a get from both men. However, imratza, if she also wants, if they're agreeable, echad noisn get, one husband will give a get, vechad koinis, and one will be her husband. asked the Gemara the obvious question, the Tzricha. Aren't the two cases that we just learned in the Mishnah identical? So why do we have to have both cases mentioned? But the Rishonim say there's actually another question that's included in the question of the Gemara. The dinim of our Mishnah we just learned, obviously very important, halachas, really belong earlier in our Masechta. Earlier in our Masechta, when we discussed many times the situations of valid or invalid Kedushin, this shlichus by Kedushin, these halachas clearly belong there. But for the last number of dafim, we've been learning hilchus yachsin. We've been speaking about issues of yichus. So the question is, how does this Mishnah, which is seemingly not related to the concept of yichus, come in here? Answers the Gemara. The Ashmin Gabi today, if we would only learn the first halacha, where the father is accepting Kedusha for his daughter, Mishum, since we're referring to the father, the Gavra Kimle B'Yuchsin, who is a man and is well aware of all of the Hilchus Yichus, as we've been learning, are quite complicated. So therefore, he is nullifying the first appointment of the Shliach, because he wants that he, who is a to be certain that his daughter will end up with a man of proper Yichus. And as the Rishonim point out, even if it turns out that the husband that the Shliach chose is of better Yichus than the husband that the father chose, still the father wants to do it himself because he wants to make sure that his daughter is going to end up with a man of proper Yichus. Aval itasa, regarding a woman, like Kimle B'Yuchsin, she isn't such an expert in Hilchus Yuchsin. Aimlein Nehevi Kedusha Kedushin. Even if she accepts Kedushin prior to the Shliach, maybe she would say, maybe she is willing, and what she's doing actually is saying that I'm accepting this Kedushin only on condition that the Shliach doesn't find a husband who will probably or possibly be of better Yichus, and if he does, I want that should be the effect of Kedushin, not my act. So Rishonim ask, how can we put all these words possibly into her mouth when we don't hear her saying that? So Rishonim answer, the mere fact that she originally appointed a Shliach to accept a Kedushin on her behalf seems to indicate that is her intention, that she wants the Shliach, who may be a bigger expert, his Kedushin to be the Kedushin that she'll follow. And therefore, Emelina have a Kedusha Kedushin. Even if the Shliach was Mekadosh our second, his should be the Kedushin that we follow. On the other hand, Yashmin and Gabdida, if we only spoke about the halacha regarding the woman who appointed a Shliach, but then accepted a Kedushin herself, maybe there we should say, Mishum de Itta Sadaika Minsuba. Women, we have this concept of very many times. A woman is very careful that she should, who she marries. Aval Iu, the father, is maybe not as careful. He just wants his daughter married off. Tzricha. Now the question that we said as part of the Gemara's question is very well resolved. We see that the entire consideration that goes into the Mishnah is a consideration of Yichus, and that's why it very much belongs in the middle of the sugyas that we're learning. We now begin, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the sugyas of Chazaka. We know that many times in Halacha, when we're faced with a situation that we're not quite certain what to do, we follow Chazaka. And actually, as we're going to learn in our Shir, there are two types of chazaka. One is called chazaka de hashta, and one is chazaka de mikara. Chazaka de hashta means the chazaka as something is now, as we see it now, that's how we could assume it was previously. Chazaka de mikara says that we assume the way something was, that's the way it remains. And actually, the main focus of the Gemara we're going to learn is when the Chazaka de Hashta and the Chazaka de Mikara actually clash. Itma. Kitshva Aviyah B'Darav. The father's Mekadosh her while he was on the road. The Kitshva Atzam V'Ir. And he was Mekadosh her when she is at the city. She was accepted her own Kedusha. V'Rahi B'Geris. As we have learned, we're going to explain the way Rashi teaches us in our Sugya. There are three stages in a woman's life. First, until she's 12 years old, she's a Ketana. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's a Nara. However, during this time of being 12 to 12 and a half, she can become a Bogeris if she brings the Simonim that indicate that she's a Bogeris. At 12 and a half, she becomes a Bogeris. A father could accept Kedushin for his daughter while she's a Ketana or a Nara, but he cannot longer accept Kedusha for her while she is a Bogeris. So here a father accepted Kedusha for her while he was out of town. She was in town and she's now a Bogeris. So the question is what was she when the father accepted the Kedusha on her behalf? If she was already a Bogeris, as we just said, he's unable to accept Kedusha. If she was still a Nara, it is a valid act. Rav Amar, Harehi Bogeris Lefaneinu. We see a woman who's a Bogeris, and we have to assume that she is what she is. V'Shmuel Amar, Chashina L'Kedusha Shneim. Shmuel says we're not quite certain, and we have to be concerned for both Kedusha. The question that we have to ask, and that we will answer in a moment, is why does the Gemara have to speak about a case where both she and her father accepted Kedusha? Why doesn't our Gemara speak about, as Tosfos, a much simpler situation where the father accepted Kedusha on behalf of his daughter, and then we see that the girl is a Bogeris? And the question is, was she a Bogeris when the father accepted Kedusha, and therefore it was a meaningless act? Or was she not a Bogeris, and it's an acceptable act of Kedusha? Answers Tosfos. On such circumstance, everybody would agree that we don't have to be concerned. The reason is because in that circumstance, the halacha is that we have a cheskes pnuya. We have a chazaka that the girl is single, and the halacha is that whenever we have a cheskes pnuya, we don't have to be concerned. The only reason we have to be concerned here is because the girl is certainly married. The only question is, what marriage is the valid marriage? Is the marriage that the father accepted or the marriage that she accepted? We don't have here a cheskas pnuya. Ask the Gemara, Amos, exactly when did this situation take place? Ilema b'toich shisha, if it happened during those 6 months between Naris and Bagris that we just described, b'han neimer Rav, harei b'geres l'faneinu, in such a circumstance, does Rav have to be concerned that she is a b'geres? Has to the Bagra. Certainly, we should not be concerned that she became Bagaris just now. We have every reason to believe that we have no reason to believe that she was a Bagaris previously. El Alachashisha. It's after she's 12 and a half. Ask the Gemara. Bahar name is Shmuel. Chashin al Kedusha Shneim. Under that circumstance, Shmuel says we're worried about the Kedusha of both parties. Bahar Meshmuel. Didn't Shmuel teach us? There's only 6 months between Naris and Bagris, and as we explained before, Shmuel teaches us that once the girl becomes 12 and a half, she's certainly a Bagaris, and therefore there should be no question that the Kedushin that she's a Bagaris, and only her Kedushin is the valid Kedushin, not the other Kedushin, says the Gemara. Like Tzricha, the Gemara is referring to a situation, the Kitcha Bahu Yoima the Mishlam Shisha. She became Mekudeshes on the day that she's 12 and a half years old. That is the day that's in question in our Gemara. And the way to understand it is as follows. Rav Amar Harei Begeris Lefaneinu. Right now, we see a girl who's a Begeris. Ume Hashta Begeris. Since we see that she's now a Bogeris, we assume that B'tzafra Nami Bogeris, that she was also a Bogeris in the morning. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds Hashtodai Simonim, we only assume that she brought this Simonim in the afternoon, and therefore if the father accepted Kedusha on her behalf in the morning, we assume that at that point she was still a single girl, she was still a Nara, and therefore his Kedusha is a valid act of Kedusha. So there are two approaches on how to understand our Gemara. Some Rishonim, some Mefarshim, Achronim, Rabbi Chanan, explained the Gemara quite simply, that the Machloikis between Rav and Shmuel is the Machloikis which Chazakah prevails. The Chazakah, the Hashta, that she's a Begeris, or the Chazakah, the Mikara, the Chazakah of the morning. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. However, Rabbi Kiva Eger, and many Mefarshim follow Rabbi Kiva Eger's approach in understanding our Gemara, says that the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is as follows. They agree that even Rav agrees that typically, as far as Hilchas Chazaka are concerned, we follow the Chazaka de Mikara. We follow the Chazaka of the morning. However, here we have a very unique situation. Since, as the Gemara is explaining, we're on the day when that Chazaka is going to change. Under that circumstances, when we're on the day that the Chazaka is going to change, so the Chazaka de Mikara is weakened. And therefore, says Rav, when the Chazaka de Mikara is not as strong as it normally is, then we follow the Chazaka de Hashta. And that's why, in this case, and only this case, will we, according to Rabbi Kivega's explanation of Rav, we follow the Chazaka de Hashta. Shmuel says that still, since there is some sort of Chazaka de Mikara in place, we continue following the Chazaka de Mikara. Ask the Gemara, according to Shmuel, that we don't follow the Chazaka, the Hashta. Ask the Gemara, v'Shmuel ma'ishnami mikvah, why is this different than a mikvah? The Tanan, mikvah shenimdid v'nimtza chaser. If a mikvah, we know that a mikvah has to have a minimum of abom saw, 40 saw of kosher mikvah water. If somebody measured the mikvah and finds that it doesn't have 40 saw, so the halach is called tahara shenas al gabel of afreya. Anybody who went into the mikvah, we have to be concerned. Bein b'shus ayochid, bein b'shus rabim, tameus. We say that the fact that we see that the mikvah is currently not kosher, we follow the chazaka, the hashta, and we say that until we could go back in time to a time that we could be certain that the mikveh was a kosher mikveh, we assume that the mikveh wasn't kosher. So we see that we follow the chazaka de hashta. So it's a kasha on Shmuel who says we don't follow the chazaka and the hashta. And as Tosfos points out, it's actually a kasha on Rav also, because Rav said, and especially with the way we explain the Gemara according to Rekiv Eger, that the only reason we follow the chazaka de hashta is because the Chazaka de Mikara is weakened, because today is the day where the girl is becoming a Begeris. But under normal circumstances, we would follow the Chazaka de Mikara, like the case of a mikvah. So the question is actually, says Tosfos, a question even on Rav. Tosfos says the reason the Gemara chose to ask the question on Rav is because it's on Shmuel, is because it's much more of an obvious question against the opinion of Shmuel versus the opinion of Rav. The Mishnah we just quoted said that there's no difference between Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabin. What does the Mishnah mean? We know that the halachi is Sofik Tomei Rosh Hashanah Yochid is Tomei, Sofik Tomei Rosh Hashanah Rabin is Tohor. And we learned this concept previously. We've learned this concept based on the halachas of Soita. Says the Mishnah, this is the way the Ritva explains the Mishnah, that here it makes no difference if the mikveh is in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid or the mikveh is in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. We will always follow the Chazaka, the Hashta, and consider the mikveh as a possible mikveh. Other explain, the Rashi Masechta Nida, the Rashba explained the Mishnah, is that we're referring to this person went to the mikveh, a person who was tamei went to the mikveh, and now we're not certain that he's tahar, because perhaps the mikveh wasn't a kosher mikveh, and now he goes and touches items that are tahar, and the question is, was he metame those items by touching them or not? Says the Mishnah, makes no difference if he touched those items b'rishus hayachid or he touched those items b'rishus harabim. The halacha is that it's tamei. So the question is, again, on Shmuel, that doesn't follow the chazaka, the hashta, why over here is he following the chazaka, the hashta? Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Diklamei Mahamed Tamei al Chazkasa, Ve'emeloi Tavol. There we could say that the person who was tamei remains tamei, and that's the chazak de mikara. Ask the Gemara, Ada Rabba, instead of following the chazak de mikara on the person that he's tamei, why don't we follow the chazak on the mikvah, the chazak de mikara of the mikvah, hamid mikvah al chaskasoi, and say the emer loy chaser, that the mikvah remains a kosher mikvah? Says the Gemara, we can't say that, because are chaser lefanecha. We have a chaser in front, and we know that the mikveh at this point is not kosher. We can measure it. Says the Gemara, if you're going to say such a sentence, so say the same thing. The woman here is certainly a begeris. Why is Shmuel not concerned about that? So what are we going to say? Because hashta the bagra. Because Shmuel says, we assume that she only became a begeris later in the day, and when the father accepted kedusha for her earlier in the day, she wasn't a begeris. So why don't we say the same thing as the Gemara by the mikvah? Hasanami hashtu the chaser. Why don't we say that the mikvah only became posel after the person went to the mikvah? Says the Gemara, hasam tata l'riyosoy, hachachad l'riyosoy. By the mikvah, there are two concerns. Number one is that the mikvah right now is chaser. And number two, the person that went to the mikvah had a cheskes tumah. By the begeris, there's only one factor that we take into consideration, that the girl is a begeris. So that's not enough to discount or not be concerned that perhaps when the father was mekadish her, she was still a nara, and therefore his act of kedushin would be a valid act of kedushin. There are a number of ways that the mefarshim, the Shef Shemites, particularly try to explain this Gemara. The simple way of learning is that there's a difference between Tartil Ryusa or Chod Ryusa. Another way of learning is like this. When we have Tartil Ryusa, they have the ability to cancel out any other Chazakas. Chod Ryusa doesn't have that strength. Ask the Gemara, the Shmuel, Maishna Michavis. So now the Gemara asks a different question from the case of a barrel. We know that when somebody has wine, he has to remove from the wine Trumas and Maestras. What was very typical was that instead of every time somebody opening up a barrel, him taking off the Trumas and Maestras that he has to, a person would have a designated barrel, which he said, which he would use as the Truma Maestra barrel. And all the Truma that he's obligated to give as he opens up barrels of wine, he would say is in that designated barrel. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, even though Gemara uses the word the Tanya, it's actually a Mishnah. He had this designated barrel from which he takes off Trumas and Maestras. And then the Akach Nemtzus Chaimitz. And then he sees that that barrel of wine actually became sour and vinegar. And the Machlokes was showing him how to understand what the concern now is. Some say that vinegar and wine, even wine vinegar, are not the same product. And therefore, you can't take truma from min al she'ena minoi, and vinegar and wine are not the same min. Other Rishonim suggest that even if we'll say that vinegar and wine are considered the same min, still, since he intended to use wine, the wine should be what he's using for truma, and it turned out that it's not wine that he's using, he's actually using vinegar, that's why it's not an acceptable hafroshes truma. But now the question is, at what point do we have to be concerned that it became vinegar? So the halacha is kol gimel yomim v'adai mikan ve'elech sofik. And as the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra quotes a three-way machlokes tanoim amaroim, how to understand this line. Some explain as follows. The case here is that we open up this barrel that we thought is wine, and it discovered to be vinegar. The last time we checked this barrel, let's say, was 10 days ago. When we checked it 10 days ago, it was wine. So some Amoraim explain like this, that if we see that the barrel is vinegar today, we could be certain that for the last 3 days, it's already been vinegar. The question is for the 7 days before it. Another opinion of Amoraim is that if I checked the barrel of wine, and 10 days ago it was wine, we could be certain for the first 3 days after that analysis, it was certainly still wine. And the suffix only begins after those 3 days. Yet a third opinion is that the first 3 days after was checked and found to still be wine, it's certainly wine. For the 3 days before we checked and saw it vinegar, we could be sure that it was already vinegar. The question is, for the intermediate days between these two sets of 3 days, it's a suffix. Mikan ve'elech, it's a suffix. It was a vinegar wine, and was the afrashas truma acceptable or not? V'raminen, and when we learned that Mishnah regarding truma, we asked the question, chavis amikvah. Mashna hocha devadai, why by the mikvah that we just finished learning, we established that the mikvah, if we see now that the mikvah is a pasul mikvah, we assume that when the person went earlier to the mikvah was already, was certain that the tefillah wasn't a valid tefillah. Well, Mashna, the hocha, it's only a suffix. Vamrav chanina misurya, man tana chavis, who is the tana of the mishnah by chavis? Rav Shimon. It follows the opinion of Shimon, the gabe mikvah nami sveika mashvi, because his halacha is, he holds that the din by the mikvah that we found posel is not that we definitely declare it to be posel, it's only a suffix. The Tanya, because the Braisa says regarding the circumstance that we discussed by the mikvah, kol tarash nas al gabe mifreya, that any paddy, anything that was brought into the mikvah, we have to treat as tamei. Bein rishus hayochid, bein rishus rabim. It makes no difference between rishus hayochid or rishus rabim. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, and that is the opinion that we asked the question from before on the opinion of Shmuel. Shimon Omer rishus rabim tahiros. In rishus rabim, since taloch is sofik tamei rishus rabim is tahor. That's why we'll be makel here too. Rishus hayochid chulin, avul rabbanim. But according to Rabbanan, the halacha is regarding this barrel of wine, we will say that it's tevel amafreya, that we have to say that it's tevel, because we don't follow the chazaka, because we follow the chazaka, and if we see that the right now it's vinegar, we have to assume that when we used it for afrosh's truma, it was tevel. Kashan Shmuel. Shmuel, what is vinegar? Shmuel doesn't follow the chazaka the hashta. So the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Tikleme Mehamet Tevel Chaskasai, Vemelin Niskan. We say that the food keeps its original chazaka. Says the Gemara, Ahmed Rabba, Hamed Yainel Chaskas, Vemelin Hechmetz. Why don't we say that the barrel was originally wine, and we say that it remains wine? Says the Gemara, you can't say that. Hare Hechmetz Lefanecha. Says the Gemara, so Hachanami Arei Bagres Lefaneinu. Right now we see a girl who's a Bagaris. Why is Shmuel not concerned with that? Because we say Hash to the Bagra. Shon became Bagaris later in the day, and when the father accepted Kedusha for her earlier in the day, she wasn't yet a Bagaris. So why don't we say the same thing about a barrel of wine, that Hash to Nami Hachanami Hash to Dachmetz, and only became vinegar later in the day, and when he takes, and when he did that Afrosh's Truma based on this barrel, it was still not yet vinegar. So the Gemara, the same tarts that we said before. Hachab Tartilari Yusuf. There, we have, by the issue of Tevel, we have two factors. The original chazaka of the produce being Tevel, and the fact that currently this barrel is vinegar. Hacha, In the case of a Begeris, Chadal Riosudikr, there's only one issue, the fact that she's currently a Begeris. Says the Gemara, Namek Tanoi. So the Gemara wants to suggest that perhaps this Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is actually a Machloikis Tanon. Mi Moitz Miyadmi. We know the halacha is that if somebody gives something away, a gift is a gift, it's a kinyan. But there's a special din of Shchimera, that if somebody is a Shchimera, is a deathly ill person, and he writes over all his property to someone, then if Baruch Hashem he gets better, we say that he only meant to give it because he thought he's about to die, and if he recovers, the gift is not considered a valid gift. He can retract. Here we have a situation where somebody wrote over all of his assets to someone else, and now the giver says, when I wrote it over, I was a Shchimera, and now Baruch Hashem, I am better. We just said that a Shchimera could retract from his original gift. And the recipient says, you were perfectly fine when you wrote over your assets to me, and the special rule that we just quoted that applies to a Shchimera isn't applicable to you. And they're having this dispute. And in fact, this is why the Paiskim say that a person, particularly a Shchimera, when he writes a shtar, should clearly indicate that he's a Shchimera in the shtar. The truth is, a healthy person should also write it, that he's writing it as a bari. So the question is, mi moitz miyad mi? Who prevails in this dispute? Who moitz miyadam b'loy raya? The donor could take the property from the recipient without proof. V'heim ein moitz miyadam b'loy raya. Divrei Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov's opinion is that since right now we see he's healthy, so we assume that when he gave the gift, he was also healthy. Rav Nosson Omer, in Barihu, if he's well now, Olav Lahavi Raya Shai Shchimera. He has to bring a raya that he was a Shchimera when he gave the gift. From Shchimera who, if he currently is a Shchimera, Aleim Lavi Raya Shabari Haya, then it becomes their obligation to bring a proof that he was a healthy person when he gave the gift. So says the Gemara, name a Rav, Dama Rav Nosson. Rav seems to follow the opinion of Rav Nosson, because Rav is saying that we follow the present condition. And since right now we see he's healthy, we say that that was his status earlier. We follow the Chazaka, the Hashta. V'Shmuel seems follows the opinion Dama Rav Yaakov. He says we don't automatically follow the present condition. We have to look at we have to say that the state of health at the time of the gift is uncertain, and that is how we have to make a determination, and we don't just follow the chazaka, the hashta. Says the Gemara, Amalach Rav, and not Amalach Filik Rav Yaakov. I could even say my opinion is following Rav Yaakov. And as the Mefarshim point out, why don't the Gemara say just Rav Tanu Upalik? The Rav has the right to get involved in a Machloikis Tanon. So Mefarshim say that we try to avoid the concept of Rav Tanu Upalik, because actually, under most circumstances, Rav is considered an Amayra, not a Tanu. And therefore Rav says, I follow even the opinion of Yaakov. Akan lay Amr Yaakov Hassam, Ikilame Muhammad Mam al Cheskosai. We have to follow the status of the money, and the money belonged to the donor. Aval Hacha, me name Muhammad Gusal Cheskosai. In the case of the girl, we can't say that we should leave the girl in her last known status. Because as we explained, Al Gemara is referring to a case that today is the day that her status is about to change. And therefore, the regular concept of Hamid, of following the original Chazaka, isn't applicable. And Shmuel says, I'm not Amri Afila Rav Nosson. My opinion can even follow Rav Nosson. At Kam, Lekom Rav Nosson, Hosom, the Kul Am, Vecheska, Brim Kam. Usually, people are considered healthy. We assume that a person is healthy unless there's reason to suspect otherwise. And since there's no reason, because most people are healthy. And like the Rosh Hash explains, even Shmuel, who's of the opinion that ain't holchim b'mamon achar roiv, so we don't follow a roiv, this is not your typical roiv. This is a fact of life. Most people, Baruch Hashem, are healthy, and now we see that this person is also healthy, so there's no reason to believe that he was a shchiv mera earlier. Man the kamapik nafshi mechazaka. So he who wants to dispute that chazaka and say that he wasn't healthy, harei olav lahavi raya. He has to bring a raya that he was a shchiv mera. Aval hocha mikon nafke nafshi mechazaka de kamei. Here, by her being a begeris, it isn't contradicting what she was earlier, a nara. Being a begeris now is not contradictory to being a nara earlier. That's actually the physical development of every woman, and therefore, it's a different situation. Point out to Rishonim that if Rav Nosson, as the way Shmuel explained Rav Nosson, is so strong about following the fact that most people are healthy, so why does Rav Nosson say that if he's currently a shchimera, then we assume that he was a shchimera earlier? Why don't we follow the rov under that situation also? So he explains that since we have in front of us the fact that he is a chazaka, we see that he isn't he is a shchimera. We see that he isn't your typical individual, and therefore we can't follow the regular chazaka that we follow by the regular roiv that we follow by everybody else. So Gemara says, "Name a kind tonight." The Gemara makes another attempt that the machlokes Rav and Shmuel is actually machlokes tanoim. It says in the Braisa, "Amishtami kitcha avi v'derech v'kitcha atzma v'ir." The father was mekadosh v'derech, and she was mekadosh herself on the city, in the city. V'arehi begeris, and now she's begeris. One Braisa says that we look at her current status that she's a Braisa, that she's a Begeris. Tanyidach, there's another Braisa that says, Chashina l'kedusha shneim. We have to be concerned about both Kedushin. My love. The first Braisa that says that we follow our current status, that she's a Begeris, follows the opinion of Rav. Fachat kishmul, and the Braisa that doesn't just follow her current status, seems to follow the opinion of Shmuel. Says the Gemara Loi. Both prices are following the opinion of Shmuel. Can be Makashtoi. The first price that we follow her current status is where she is explicitly contradicting her father. And she's saying that she was a Begeris already in the morning. So since currently she's a Begeris, and she's claiming that she was a Begeris in the morning when her father accepted the Kedushin on her behalf, there Shmuel will agree that we consider her a Begeris and the father's acceptance of Kedushin was meaningless. Can the Braisa, which say we have a Suffolk, is B'she'em Mekashtoi. She doesn't argue. And that's where, so actually Shmuel is saying it that way. Says the Gemara, B'neim Amidimus Nisiloi Pligi, if now we had a way of reconciling two Braises, why don't we say Amaroi Namiloi Pligi? Why do we have to learn that Rav and Shmuel have been arguing? Maybe they're not arguing. Rather, we should say that Rav has been speaking about a case of Mechashtoi, where the girl disputes what her father, the girl saying that she was Begeris in the morning. And that's why Rav, and actually even Shmuel, Paskin, that we go with the Chazaka, the Hashta. And Shmuel was speaking about a case where Loi Mechashtoi, and there Rav would also agree that if Loi Mechashtoi, we have a Suffolk, and we don't automatically assume that she was a Begeris when the father accepted the Kedushin on her behalf. Says the Rav Tisbro, is that an acceptable way of thinking? HaRav Yosef Breda Menashe Medvil of the Kavosei the Rav. There was once a situation where such a question came up by this Amira, and he passed in like Rav. Vikit Shmuel, and Shmuel was annoyed. Everybody, he like disparagingly said about him, everybody got only a small measure of wisdom. he got a very big measure of wisdom that he could feel comfortable to follow the opinion of Rav. If we're going to say loy pligi, that there's no machloek between Rav and Shmuel, why was Shmuel upset? Shmuel agrees with Rav. We would have to say that that case was a case of mechashtoi, where Shmuel and Rav are in agreement. The dilma kiyavi mechashtoi. It must be that it was a situation of loy mechashtoi, and even though it was loy mechashtoi, still this Rabbi Yosef followed the opinion of Rav, where Shmuel disagrees and said that we consider her a begeris when the father accepted the kedushin, and that was what Shmuel was upset about. Why are you following Rav's opinion? So Tosfos points out that we have a klal throughout Shas that Hilchas HaKarabi is Surei, that we follow the opinion of Rav like questions of Isser. So what is our Gemara? And the Gemara doesn't always say explicitly Hilchas HaKarabi by a question of Isser V'Heter, because we know that's the Halacha. Why did the Gemara feel necessary over here to tell us that the Halacha follows the Rav? So Tosfos answers that since we see here that there were a Meroyim, and perhaps even other Mepharshim say Tanoim, that followed the opinion of Shmuel, so maybe it's not so obvious that we should follow the opinion of Rav. That's why the Gemara had to tell us explicitly that here we follow, that here too, the Halacha is like Rav. Other Rishonim answer that this is not a question that's purely Issur V'Heter. There's also a financial element to this question, because if the Kedushin of the father is a valid Kedushin, then he could keep the Kedushin money. If not, he would have to return the Kedushin money because it wasn't a valid Kedushin. So there are mamonistigah implications to this question. By questions of mamon, we follow the opinion of Shmuel. That's why the Gemara had to tell us that here, the halach, we consider it an isser issue. The mamon is not considered the main point here, and we follow the halacha like Rav. Another point that the Paiskim point out based on this Gemara, as we're starting to finish learning Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Masechta Kedushin, that we see there's a question: what is the proper time for a marriage ceremony to take place? Is it better for it to take place in the morning? Is it better for it to take place at night? Here we see that the Gemara speaks about that the father accepted Kedushin in the morning, the girl accepted Kedushin later, that there is no specific time that Kedushin could take place. Any time is equally valid for accepting Kedushin. The Paiskim point out that the question really is based, because we learned the Masechta Gittin, that a get, the receiving of a get, is like a din Torah. And a din Torah is not supposed to be done by night. So that's why a get is not supposed to be given by night. But they say that would therefore only be regarding Kedusha Shtar, since as we learned at the beginning of a Masechta, that Kedusha Shtar are similar to Gittin. But here, when our Kedushin are done, Kedusha Kesef can be done by day or by night, as long as there should be Simchas.